two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Oh, the angry rhetoric continues in D.C. President Trump throwing around the word treason while looking over at the halls of Congress.
He should resign from office in disgrace. And frankly, they should look at him for treason because he is making up the words of the president of the United States. Not only words, but the meaning. And it's a disgrace. It should not be allowed to happen.
That's the president talking about House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff.
Yeah, he doesn't like him. This is my surprise face. Anybody that speaks against the president hates. It's like they are the target of the bane in the existence. He gives them the funny nicknames. I do find it funny that people get sucked into this every single time. Every time the president says something outrageous, it's like, can you believe the president said that? Like, we're 3 years in, folks. You're surprised? Like, are we really still surprised that the president says wild things?
Well, we've got some big news ahead, and we want to look ahead. Tomorrow, Inspector General expected to meet behind closed doors with the House Intelligence Committee. In fact, our own Representative Chris Stewart is on that committee. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. Good to be with you both.
Boy, right in the middle of this, you are. So I'm wondering, when you meet behind closed doors with the Inspector General, what will be the first question you ask him?
Hey, before we talk about that, can I go back to this, what you all have been talking about, the use of the word treason?
Yes, but I will not let you dodge the question.
No, I won't. Okay. And when I answer the question, you'll see there's no dodge there.
Okay.
An awful lot I can say on that that's going to surprise you. But I don't think it's a good idea for the president to use that word. But I also don't think it's been a good idea for those who have accused him and his family and people that we know are innocent. Carter Page and a number of others, they've been accused of treason for years. And just last week, Nancy Pelosi said exactly the same thing. I think it'd be better if all of us were a little more measured in our accusations until we have some facts that actually back it up. Now, Deb, to your question about our hearing tomorrow, you know, we had an extractivism before us for, 4 hours or so a few weeks ago. And I found him to be a very, very credible witness, someone who is very sincere, and I think he's trying to execute his duties. I don't believe there's any political motivation one way or the other for him. We do have questions now that we didn't have before because we have more information than we had before. And I think we'd like to pursue, you know, understand, you know, what does he have any information regarding the whistleblower's contacts with the Democrats on the committee? Does he know who helped him write this complaint? Because it was clearly written with some help of some attorneys and others. Does he have any information regarding firsthand knowledge? Because the statutes are very clear for the DNI, and that was you couldn't have a whistleblower complaint unless you had firsthand knowledge of illegal or illicit activity, and this whistleblower doesn't, and yet that was changed. We didn't know that 2 weeks ago, and I think those are some of the questions we'd like to pursue.
Representative Chris Stewart, I think the role of a whistleblower is crucial. I mean, we have to be able to tell somebody if we see something wrong, and especially when it comes from a huge organization or a powerful person. The role of the whistleblower really is nearly sacred to me. My question is, after the whistleblower gives the complaint, why does it need to be a deep dive into their life, their history, their experiences, their motivations? It seems to me that, hey, I saw this, you guys investigate it and then figure it out. But this is what I saw, or this is what I heard.
Yeah. Well, there's, I agree with what you said, especially with protecting the whistleblower. I mean, if we lose that, then we lose much of the effective oversight over government, and governments which can run amok, as I think any reasonable person, you know, wants to control. But you said a couple things that are, I think, worth elaborating on. Number one is, I do think that it's a fair proposition to understand at least a little bit of the motivations of a whistleblower. For example, he might use it for retribution against his boss. He might use it for accusations against an employee that he may not like. And I think that's a fair question. But look at the facts, and, you know, if there's indications that there's some motive behind it, I think that's worth considering. But this is a little bit different, too, in the sense that this is a very, very political enterprise now. This isn't a statement of fact. And this was not firsthand information. I've read the complaint. I'm sure you have. I have studied it. I've read it I don't know how many times. But at no point in this complaint does he ever say, I saw, I witnessed, I heard. In every case, it's I was told, or sources told me, or a number of associates have informed me. And I think that is a legitimate area to explore.
But Representative Stewart,
he
and I want to talk to you about the reason why you keep using the word he. But he or she alleges or says right off the top of the complaint, I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. So why is that curious to you? I mean, that whistleblower puts it on page one of the complaint.
Yeah.
I mean, they spell it out for you. That doesn't need any more investigating.
Well, no, I think there's two things. One is he or she, you're right. I'm saying he out of just ease.
I just wondered if you knew the identity of a whistleblower, the way you keep
maybe,
using the word he.
Well, if I did, I would be even more careful. He or she, whoever it might be, just out of ease of conversation, I think they may have deferred to that. And I don't mean to indicate anything
No, that's,
on that.
Okay.
But to your point about that he or she acknowledged that on the very first page, but it is in contradiction to the guidance of the time. It was after this that the DNI guidance allowed for someone to initiate a whistleblower complaint without firsthand information. Before that, they always required it. And it then leads to the veracity of the information. Is it accurate? Is it something that we can confirm? And I think that we should have some kind of standard as to actual knowledge versus, well, this is what I heard, or these are the rumors.
So if I as a former federal employee, when I was employed with the FBI, if I had heard somebody, and I hadn't, but let's just use this by way of example, heard somebody was leaking documents, that they shouldn't be leaking documents, what you're saying is that would disqualify me from filing a whistleblower complaint.
Well, it may or may not. It depends on the agency. But there's one other thing to consider, and that is that you have other avenues that you could explore. The whistleblower isn't the only one. Well, you know, one of the most obvious is that you talk to your supervisors. You would talk to people within the chain of command. And hopefully, and I think generally this is true, they would then deal with that. They would have a way to investigate that and hold that person accountable if they actually were leaking. There's other legal processes you could go through. But I want to be clear on this as well. Whether he had firsthand knowledge or she had firsthand knowledge, I think is worth knowing. I don't think it's critical. I don't think it changes the outcome of evaluating this information. And in one way, it's almost irrelevant, because whether he knew it or not, we have the actual transcript. So however he characterized what he heard or she heard, you got me now, I'm trying to be careful. however you characterize what he or she heard or had been told, again, it doesn't matter. We have the transcript. We can evaluate the transcript by itself. And I think the whistleblower at this point becomes much less important. In fact, in many ways, irrelevant. We have the transcript. That should be the thing that we're focusing on, and thing the investigation should focus on.
Do you think, because we just heard this from the president earlier this morning, where in a very frank statement said, yeah, China should investigate the Bidens, Ukraine should investigate the Bidens. Is it inappropriate, or even is it illegal for a president to ask a foreign government to investigate a U.S. citizen?
Well, I think, look, what Vice President Biden did was entirely inappropriate. To take his son with him, and it wasn't just to Ukraine, by the way. He did it in China, and as you know, his company within 10 days trying to deal with $1.5 billion with the Chinese-owned enterprise as well. Putting that aside, I think it's entirely inappropriate. My concern on this...
And is it illegal, though?
What's that?
Yeah, I think everyone agrees it's inappropriate, but is it illegal?
Well, and that's exactly your point, though. And see, that's what I'm asking about what he said on this phone call. There's not a person that I know of who has argued that what the president said in this phone call is illegal. They can't point to a single statute. Very clearly, it's not addressed in a legal sense. The question is, was it inappropriate? I think he should not have done it. Just like I think it was inappropriate, and Joe Biden shouldn't drag his son around the country to help enrich him. Just like I think it's inappropriate, Elizabeth Warren shouldn't have claimed to be Native American when she wasn't. The question that this comes to, and this is so important, this is the whole crux of this, is this a threshold to remove someone from office? Because my great fear is if you have set that standard, if you've said for 3 years, we're going to impeach this guy, we're going to impeach this president, you have a reason now you think you can do that. And you carry out this impeachment, I don't think we'll have a president serve out 4 years for the rest of our democracy. Because the presidents always do something inappropriate. In the course of their, whether they're a character flaw or perhaps a mistake, presidents will make mistakes, which is why our founding fathers set a high threshold for impeachment. And if you're going to impeach him for this mistake, then good luck with the next guy. Because I promise you, we'll find something to impeach the next president if we don't like him. And I think that's a ridiculous way to move forward on this. I think the high crimes and misdemeanors have to be something where the vast majority of Americans say, this was simply wrong. There has to be accountability. And we're so far from that on this. Most Americans, and believe me, I hear from people, hundreds of people, and most of them go, I don't understand what this is about. And many of them are uncomfortable with it. But I don't know very many who are calling for impeachment now who weren't the same individuals who were calling for impeachment last week and last month and last year. Those guys are all over it, but they've been all over it for a long time.
For the last 3 years, as you've been saying. Representative Chris Stewart, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time. We will continue to follow this story every step of the way, Debbie. And
we're not done talking about it yet.
We're not done yet.
Hey, next on the line, retired FBI special agent who worked cases related to national security. His take on why the president should not be allowed to know who blew the whistle on that phone call.
It's 10:17. We're a little late. Sorry, folks. We couldn't cut off Representative Chris Stewart. We wanted to make sure he got a chance to explain his thoughts on President Trump, the whistleblower, all these things. Much more coming up in just a few minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic. Later today, Jeff Kaplan reports on the news.
An overnight rescue mission on the Great Salt Lake.
And he talks about the news.
Tragedy was averted in the dead of night.
3 to 7 on KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Impeachment Inquiry, in-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
I've been saying it for a week, Dave. Every day, there's a new twist. There's a new revelation. There's a new soundbite. Especially when it comes to the whistleblower. I've been a little surprised about this, at the center of that impeachment inquiry. National News now reporting the whistleblower first reached out to the House Intelligence Committee before filing the complaint. And then, I don't know, did you hear President Trump, what he had to say about this, Dave?
I haven't heard that.
In turn, President Trump turned around and accused the House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff of helping the whistleblower write the complaint.
Well, I think it's a scandal that he knew before. I go a step further. I think he probably helped write it. Okay? That's what the word is. And I think it's, I give a lot of respect for the New York Times for putting it out. Just happened as I'm walking up here, they handed it to me. And I said to Mike, Whoa, that's something. That's big stuff. That's a big story. He knew long before, and he helped write it, too.
He helped write it.
The attorneys of the whistleblower are saying, no, absolutely not. That's not what happened. We wrote it. But, again, now we're looking at the procedures. How did it happen? And trying to look everywhere except the actual whistleblower complaint and the phone call. Again, folks, let's focus on those things. And then let's make a determination.
Do you really want to know who the whistleblower is?
No, I don't care. I don't care who the whistleblower is.
Let's get retired special agent for the FBI, supervisory special agent for the FBI, Carl Schmee, on the line with us. Good morning, Carl. I know you've been following these developments in the case. You and I worked closely together here in the FBI Salt Lake City Division when I was a spokesperson, so it's good to have you on the show.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, Dave and Deb.
So you've investigated cases involving national security in the past. You spent 20 years with the FBI. What's your take? Should the president or the public get to know the identity of the whistleblower?
No, I don't think so. I think that would be dangerous. You know, we don't know what agency this person works for. There's been allegations perhaps they work for the CIA. And the people that work for those types of agencies in the intelligence community, their identities are protected for a reason. You know, they're involved. They may have been undercover in the past. They may have been involved with sensitive intelligence operations. And so disclosing their identity could potentially do damage to past intelligence activities.
Yeah, and I don't think if you were working undercover, and I worked with and worked around officers and agents who have worked undercover, having your identity outed based on, you know, some of the cases that they work is extremely dangerous, not only to them, but their families.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Deb. So there's, you know, there's a personal safety factor, and I think there's a larger issue, too, is that there's whistleblower protections in place because we want people to have to be able to have the courage to step forward. If they see that, if they think they've seen some illegal activity, we want people to step forward and to be able to report that. And if they're in this environment where they're going to be publicly outed, where they're going to be attacked, that could have a chilling effect on other people that may be thinking of speaking up if they've seen some potential wrong.
Right.
Carl, early on we learned that this whistleblower says it on page one, I think paragraph two, that this is not firsthand knowledge. I didn't see it. I didn't necessarily hear it. This is, so to speak, hearsay. This is what I heard from other people and informants. Is it
right.
important that a whistleblower have firsthand knowledge?
It's not. So what's important, Dave, and that's a great question, what's important is really the credibility of the initial sources. So in the FBI, you know, we work sources, and oftentimes they may be reporting something secondhand. Obviously, you know, if they have direct knowledge, that's probably the best. But if they're getting that from someone else, we want to know about the credibility of that initial person. And in this case, it appears that the people that reported this to the whistleblower would have great credibility because they're also members of the U.S. intelligence community. You know, we're not talking about some kind of a drug case here. We are talking about a bunch of crackheads. I mean, these are all important government officials that have high security clearances.
Who are reporting or who have essentially turned around and he's filed a complaint.
Right. So, you know, you've got other U.S. officials that had apparently reported this to the whistleblower, and the whistleblower is the one who decided to step up to the plate and make the report.
At what point is it important to file a whistleblower complaint, and when should this information be handled internally?
Well, every agency has their own process for that. The FBI had it. You know, every agency's got various channels for doing that. And typically, that's going to be handled initially within the agency. So they might have a tip line, you know, where people can call in. There may be something else where they can send in anonymous tips online as well. But it really depends on the agency. And in terms of, you know, what should be reported, you know, once again, that really depends on what the issue is. I mean, there's any number of issues that can be handled. But it sounds like this person went through the appropriate channels. You know, they didn't just take it upon themselves to go on to CNN to start spouting off stuff. You know, they made a report to the inspector general, which is the appropriate way to take this.
Carl Schmey, retired FBI supervisory special agent here in the Salt Lake City division. Thank you so much for hopping on the line with us and giving us your insight, your perspective on this. Dave, you spent 20 years in the FBI. We worked side by side when I was a spokesperson for the FBI. We look forward to having Carl weigh in more and more on this issue as this continues, because it's not over yet. The rhetoric spinning up once again on Trump's own Twitter feed this morning. Wow. I'm going to read you the tweet in the next segment. I just got to read you the tweet. And then our Facebook poll. Are you for or against the impeachment inquiry? Weigh in. 801-575-7668. It's a simple question. Are you for or against the impeachment inquiry? And then tell us why.
It's 1028. Stick around. News, traffic, and weather is next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news.
Senator Romney joining us
with Dave and Debbie.
Do you think the FDA and the CDC are going to take your concerns seriously?
I do believe they're taking it seriously.
News at 5, talk at 9 on KSL News Radio, Utah's news station. Dave and Dujanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. House impeachment inquiry. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Oh, I just can't hear that open enough. Going to be hearing it a lot in the next couple of weeks. A lot going on. The IG, Inspector General, expected to meet behind closed doors with the House Intelligence Committee. We heard a live interview we had just moments ago with Representative Chris Stewart, who will be in that closed-door session.
Yeah, Debbie, and we're going to hit several things. You're going to hear the president's frustration. Some people call them rants toward the press, toward the main players in the impeachment inquiry. Also, the approach to the inquiry and what the polls are showing about the president now, whether people support the impeachment inquiry or not.
So let me read you this. These are not my words. I'm going to give you one guess, Dave. We're going to play a little game show. I wish we had our game show music for this. And you tell me who you think tweeted this morning. Fake news, just like the snakes and gators in the moat. The media is deranged.
That's too easy.
No, wait. Was it Hillary Rodham Clinton? Was it Debbie Dujanovic?
It was Debbie, definitely. That sounds like something you would tweet.
That's the first tweet this morning from President Trump that I read. He's probably tweeted a lot. He's been on a what they're calling a Twitter rampage lately. So I'm wondering, do the president's recent, we'll call them rants, you called them something much more politically correct a few moments ago? I can't remember.
His thoughts.
Do they worry you? Do they make you roll your eyes? Or is this just how he is and you accept it, Dave?
Well, the fact that you're still, like, amazed, and I don't mean you, Debbie Dujanovic, I mean the American people. This is not the first time he's gone after anyone. I mean, it was crooked Hillary, it was sleepy Joe Biden, and now it's crooked Joe Biden, I think. It's a million things. It's name-calling. This is the way he tweets. This is the way he communicates. So why do we get wound up every single time? Can we be the grown-ups here? This is what I really want to know. As the American people, can we be the grown-ups and say, okay, if there is something worth investigating, let's investigate it. Let's not get caught up in this magic show of look over here, misdirection. Let's be the grown-ups as the American people. If you don't like the way the conversation's going, stop getting sucked into it every single tweet.
Can't help it. Cannot help himself. we've been asking for your phone calls as well, 801-575-7668. We're going to get to those in just a moment. Do you think the impeachment inquiry should continue to march forward based on what you know right now? Or do you think you've had enough? Is there enough there? In fact, we've put a poll on Facebook And we also have real poll results, although our Facebook poll sometimes eclipses the sampling of other national polls. We're going to get our producer, Andrew Hull, in the booth in just a moment. He's going to read through the results of our Facebook poll. But in the meantime, it was day one. It was one day yesterday of two epic meltdowns from the president. So, of course, Dave, like you say, stop getting sucked into it. Oh, we're going to get us right sucked back into it. Let's hear from the audio from the first meltdown.
Not a thing wrong, unless you heard the Adam Schiff version where he made up my conversation. He actually made it up. It should be criminal. It should be treasonous. He made it up, every word of it, made up, and read to Congress as though I said it. And
first of all, he's 100% right in what Adam Schiff did. Adam Schiff totally went off the rails when he was describing what was happening in this congressional hearing. So he's right there. Is it treasonous? That's a very, very strong word, right? But we throw out a lot of words out there that are highly inappropriate. When you call the president a Nazi, that is highly inappropriate. All right? So, I mean, the idea that names and words are being thrown around flippantly is something that both sides do. They should absolutely 100% stop, but it's what they do.
So the second, all right, let's not call it a meltdown. Interaction, is that a better word? He had this exchange with reporter Jeff Mason from Reuters during a press conference yesterday.
Look, Biden and his son are stone cold crooked, and you know it. His son walks out with millions of dollars. The kid knows nothing. You know it, and so do we. Go ahead, ask a question.
But the question, sir, was what did you want President Zelensky to do about Vice President Biden and his son, Hunter?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it was just a follow-up of what I just asked you, sir.
Listen, you ready? We have the president of Finland. Ask him a question.
I have one for him. I just wanted to follow up on the one that I asked you, which
did
was,
you hear
what
me?
Did you, want
did you hear
to...
me?
Yes,
ask
sir.
Him a question.
I will. But
I've given you a long answer. Ask this gentleman a question. Don't be rude.
Well, everybody now knows who Jeff Mason from Reuters is. Going to narrow things down a little bit more and focus on this. The president doubling down on accusing Representative Adam Schiff of treason once again this morning. We just heard his soundbite from yesterday. Here's more from this morning. Not only recommending that Ukraine investigate the Bidens, but also throwing in China.
Mr. President, what exactly did you hope Zelensky would do about the Bidens after his phone call? Exactly.
Well, I would think that if they were honest about it, they'd start a major investigation into the Bidens. It's a very simple answer. They should investigate the Bidens, because how does a company that's newly formed and all these companies, if you look at, and by the way, likewise, China should start an investigation into the Bidens, because what happened in China is just about as bad as what
this was the question I had for Representative Chris Stewart. This just joined us in the last half hour. I said, Representative Stewart, is it illegal for a president to ask a foreign government to investigate a U.S. citizen? And Representative Stewart said, yeah, it's no question it's inappropriate. And I said, it's not. I'm not asking if it's inappropriate. I think we all agree this is inappropriate, but is it illegal? And he said, no one showed me that it's illegal. Now, the question is, does it change if it's a political opponent? And I think that's where you hear this, and someone's going to have to make that determination.
There's lots of polls now out there. There's a collection of polls from Pollster 538 in New York. We had them on the show, I believe it was last week, analyzing poll results. But this is the latest poll result. Support for or against impeachment, 46% are for, 44% are against it now, according to the polls. So those in favor have eclipsed those against it. Andrew Hull, our producer, we also put the same poll on Facebook, on our own KSL News Radio Facebook page. What are those results?
Right. So we had about 300 people weighing in, and 39%, so this is a little bit different from the 538 polling, 39% say that you support the impeachment inquiry, but 61% say they oppose it.
Andrew Hull, thank you so much for jumping in the booth with us. Next, I cannot wait for this segment that we're going to give you an exclusive behind-the-scenes look of the set of the new series of stories from the Book of Mormon. It's just one of several specially produced documentaries airing this weekend right here on KSL News Radio as well as KSL Television. We've got a whole host of documentaries in light of Conference Weekend for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Dave and Dujanovic. Are you asking for Dave and Debbie everywhere?
Just say, Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
And stream them on your phone. The KSL News Radio app.